Holy is the Lord, our God. Holy is the Lord.
Hi, this is Don Wyatt with the Hebrew Radio Network, Torah to the Nations, and KPJC Radio with my 25-minute message for this week. And we are broadcasting from AM 1220 KPJC here in Salem, Oregon. You can reach us at 503-316-1220. I'm Don Wyatt, D-O-N-W-Y-A-N-T on Skype. And you can email me, don@thejctown.com. You know, with Mother's Day approaching, it reminds me that many of us have people in our lives that don't understand all this Jewish stuff that we're doing. At least they think it's Jewish, and that's the way that they perceive it. So to them, that's the reality of it. They think we've become involved in this Hebrew thing that's kind of a cult or something, and they worry that we've lost our faith in Jesus, deserted our family traditions, and started looking and acting different than a Christian. And in fact, they think we're no longer interested in the things we were interested in before. So as a result, family peace is strained at best, or non-existent in the worst case. Mainly, I think my family chooses to ignore me and considers my beliefs to be kind of irrelevant. But for those who still have mothers, today's broadcast might be just what you need. In fact, I hope that it will really take hold with every concerned family member and help explain some of the things that are hard for people to talk about when they're too close to each other. It does seem that the ones that are closest to us are the hardest to get through to and to communicate with because we think we know each other, and maybe we don't always. So if you find yourself in this situation, whether it's mum for our British and Australian friends, or if it's someone else who loves you and is concerned about you, if there's someone who thinks you've gone off the deep end, or at least are on your way there, then today's teaching might be just what the Father ordered. The fact is, anyone who's been called right now is a first fruit, and most will think that you're crazy. But the book of Daniel says that until the end times, many secrets will be hidden. So be patient with our loved ones. Just know that they care, and they want to make sure that what you're doing is the right thing. Let's help them to understand. And I know that many of you are in exactly the same boat that I am, that you're finding out something that's brand new and alive and so exciting and necessary. In fact, it's essential in your life. And I know that some of you are having a tough time getting your family members to come along with you or to understand, at least according to the cards, letters, emails, phone calls, and personal visits that I get. That it doesn't always go over really well when you tell them, hey, I've found more of the Bible. I've found my Hebraic roots. I've found something deeper. I've begun to understand. It's been fulfilled for me. Wow, there's a whole nother world in Scripture that I never knew or imagined. You'd think that someone would be excited about that, but it doesn't seem to happen all of that much. So what I'm going to do today is to let you in on a letter that I'm writing to my mom. And I'm sure even though it's for Mother's Day, I'd love for Dad to read it or listen to it as well. And if it's useful, maybe your relatives can listen to it too. Or change it, use it however you want to. So here it goes. Dear Mom and Dad, happy Mother's Day to you. You are a blessing in my life, and I am grateful for you to our Creator. If it wasn't for you and Dad, I probably would never have had the chance to let the God of heaven and earth into my life. Thank you for being an example to me. I know that you have some concerns about the things that I tell you, especially about my beliefs and the fact that I don't call myself a Christian anymore. Please hear me out and don't get sidetracked or get worried. I guarantee you that by the time this letter is done, you will understand where I'm coming from and feel better about what you think you're hearing. As you know, I've made a decision to recognize and practice my biblical roots, the Hebraic roots of the Bible. In fact, everything you see me do or hear has to do with my desire to be like Jesus, or I call him by the name his earthly mother and foster dad, Joseph, and his heavenly father called him, Yeshua. And I can talk to you more about what the name means later, because that's one of the really awesome things about Hebrew, is that even the very letters have meanings. Scriptures have become so incredible. They're so full of life. It's like hidden treasure in every page and in every word and in every letter. But Mom, in reality, what I now believe and practice is nothing more than what you believe to be true, only it's on steroids. It's magnified and big, and it's become reality. When I was raised and taken to Sunday school, youth group, Bible explorers, and worship services every week when I was young, you and Dad taught me, whether you knew it or not, by sending me to a Christian school and college, you taught me to follow God as we knew him and to follow the Bible as our final authority, right? So if I'm studying the Bible more than I ever have in my life before, and not only learning about what it says, but actually letting it change my life, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what you wanted? Isn't that what you've always prayed for? Don't you and Dad want me to be obedient? And if we can all come to a place where we know more about him and more about his word, isn't that something you'd want to do too? At least isn't it worth listening to? You have to admit that Yahweh, that's what I call God, intended so much more for us than we have now. You see, I've found out that by studying through the eyes of those who wrote the scriptures and by listening with the ears of the original audience that scripture was written to, that what I had learned about my Heavenly Father and his family was different than what he intended. For example, I didn't know his name was Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Those are four Hebrew letters that were given to Moses. We call him Yahweh or Yahuwah. There are many different ways to pronounce the letters because in Hebrew there aren't vowels, but each one of those letters has a specific meaning that make up the characteristics of our Father. I didn't know that his very name, I Am That I Am, was so full of meaning, and it means so much more than that. I can't tell you in this short letter, but I didn't know that in our English translation of the Bible, his very name has been removed nearly 7,000 times and hidden behind titles like G-O-D, God, only with a capital letter, and L-O-R-D, Lord, with a capital L. Why would you take the name that he told us to call him out of the Bible? That's crazy. So you can imagine my surprise when I learned that the word G-O-D, God, originated from an ancient Canaanite deity and was later adopted by our Celtic ancestors and put into the English Bible instead of his real name. And you can imagine how surprised I was when the word Lord didn't really mean the all-sufficient creator of everything. Instead, if you look in your Strong's Bible Dictionary, you'll find that it means Baal, the name of the sun god in Bible times, and it can mean any master or husband or lord. I really started to question what had been taught. What does the Bible really say? What's the message that our Abba really wanted us to know? Why did Yeshua have to come here? Why did he have to save us? And who was he trying to save? The more I looked, the more I found out that my understanding had been shifted from what was originally intended. So many doctrines and so many beliefs had just been made up by man in order to make it easy for man to have a religion and feel good about themselves. It just made me want to look more. I had to know the truth. I have to keep finding out the truth. And I knew where to start with that because Yeshua said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And yet I knew that Christianity had not told me the whole story. I had to find out more. For example, in the New Testament, or the Brit Hadashah, the book of James wasn't originally called James, but Yaakov, or Jacob. Unfortunately, in the mid-1500s, King James of England decided that he wanted his name to be in Scripture, and he arbitrarily changed the name. Now, if one man can change something that's so significant as the name of the Messiah's, Yeshua's brother, what else did they change and teach us as being from our Heavenly Father, and it really wasn't? Mom, by this time, you can imagine my sense of justice and truth had really kicked into high gear. I know that the Bible is Yahweh's word, that it's his instruction to us, it's his guidance for life, it's like an owner's manual for life. And when it's understood in its original language and culture and context, it made me look deeper to see what else I'd been taught incorrectly, and why. There are several verses that really started standing out to me because I knew that I didn't have the whole understanding that was available to me, at least not based on what I had learned before, not the way I had been taught before. My perception was beginning to change little by little. My eyes were being opened and scales were falling off my ears or out of my ears, and things that I couldn't see before began to become apparent. A little bit of obedience paid off a lot. Just keeping the seventh-day Sabbath was an amazing transformation. For example, Hebrews 13:8 says that Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it made me start to think about our Savior. And I told you his name, Yahshua. You might recognize his Father's name in his name, Yahweh, Yahshua. Yahweh's salvation is what it means. And so that just doesn't happen in English with God or Lord and Jesus, because God, Lord, Jesus have no relationship to each other, because they're not really the names of our Father or of our Messiah and our Savior. And even now I wonder, the name above all names, the name that saves, the only name that can save, does a name matter? It made me want to look for him, because if he was the same yesterday from the beginning or from before the beginning, shouldn't he be in the what we call the Old Testament? And if he is, how can it be old or irrelevant? Again, I was surprised to find out that in the Hebrew language, he's there from the very first verse in the Bible, because there are words that were not translated into English that are in Hebrew. For example, two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Tav. We call them in Greek, we've learned in Revelations, he calls himself Alpha and Omega. Well, these are the first and the last letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but in the first verse of Genesis and hundreds of times in other places in the Bible, this Aleph Tav is silent in Scripture and not written. It's an amazing thing to know that from the very beginning, Yeshua was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we'd never know that just from looking at the English, because it's not written in our Bible. Something else with regard to Yeshua is that we know that man cannot see the Father or else he'll die. And so when there was writing on the wall, or when there was a pillar of fire or a column of smoke, or the rock that gushed forth living water in the desert, or who gave forth the Ten Commandments, for example, and all the other commandments, we know that when Yahweh interacted with man, that it was Yeshua, because of the Aleph and the Tav being there all the time. It's an amazing thing to think that the one that created us came to save us too. The types and the shadows and the prophecies that are hidden in Scripture, if we just have the glasses to see, are amazing, Mom. So I keep looking a little further. 1 John 5 says that if we love Yahweh, we will keep Yahweh's commandments. Well, what commandments was he talking about? Somehow in our English-speaking linear minds, we think in these straight lines, and that things fall in an order, and that old things pass away, and only new things are relevant. But if we stop and just look logically for a minute, we realize that there were no commandments, that the disciples studied the words of Moses. They lived the words of Moses. Yeshua did the same thing. Jesus did the same thing. He kept the Torah. He was a rabbi who kept all the laws. Now, there aren't that many laws. What are the laws, in fact, that he said to keep? Well, he said to keep my commandments. So what are those commandments? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we take the fourth commandment about keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day, holy. And what do we do with it? We say, well, that has changed. And that's something I couldn't buy anymore, because either Yahweh is a liar or Yeshua is a liar and the commandments have passed away, or at least one of them, or the religion that I had been taught had told me lies. Again, this just made me dig all the deeper to find out what's going on. I know that all truth is going to be found in Yahweh, that Yeshua came to do something, and I was missing parts of it. And I know that he's coming again to complete the task. I know he is the life giver. I know he is the sustainer. I know that he is the provider. I know that he's my protection. And yet religion has taken his word and twisted it and made it into this church thing that it isn't. And it never was. I began to learn that in the Bible, not only had the name of the author, Yahweh, our Abba, our Father, been changed thousands of times. Not only had the name of Yeshua's brother, Yaakov, been changed to James, but there had been literally thousands of things, little things, that had changed in order to meet men's expectation, to meet men's doctrines and men's ideas and men's understandings. But these men weren't the ones who walked with Yeshua, who talked with him, who knew his ways, who knew the culture. These men came later, after the 12 disciples or apostles had died. They became known as our church fathers and were involved in the pre-Catholic church. And they decided these heresies and passed them down, that this Old Testament was too old and not relevant for today, and that the God of the Old Testament was too harsh and merciless. And yet we find that's not true by looking at Scripture, because over and over, and when I say Scripture, I'm talking about the Old Testament, we find that he is so full of mercy that he gives opportunity after opportunity for us to repent and come back to what he intended to be his people, who would be obedient and follow his laws and follow his ways and become like him. He chose us. He wants us. He wants a generation who will obey his commandments and show that we love him by obeying his commandments. So the question has to be asked, Mom, if Yahweh said, keep these statutes and these commandments forever, keep these holidays, these festivals that I have made because they reveal my purpose and my character, and we change those and we say we're going to have our own festivals and our own days and our own rules from the Old Testament or the Tanakh to the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, I really began to question, and I hope you and Dad do too. I know that I half jokingly say, when are you going to come out of the Catholic Church, Mom? And you've never been Catholic, of course, in your life, except for Protestant is just the daughter of the Catholic. And unfortunately, Scripture has been changed because the authority of the Catholic Church is the papacy. It's not the written word of Yahweh. And they're proud about that. And Protestants say that Scripture is authority for them, and yet they keep the Catholic holidays and they keep the man-made traditions rather than digging in and finding out and practicing truth. And we're going to keep what we want and choose what we want. Do we even serve the same God that Yeshua serves, that Yeshua is, that the disciples served and that they wrote about? They wrote about and studied Yahweh of the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. There was no church. So I had to re-examine. And then another verse just stood out and changed my perspective. In Matthew 15, he starts out by talking to the leaders of the religion at that time, the Pharisees, and saying, why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? And Mom, this is exactly what I have found out, that we prefer our traditions and the things that make us comfortable more than we love him, more than we want to seek after him, more than we're willing to change us to be in the world but not of the world. We really are intended to be different. And when we start acting different, and when we start looking different, and our behaviors change, and we are outside of the system of man, and we intentionally live in the kingdom of Yahweh, how he says to live, where he says, when he says, then we'll start getting the different power that's available to us. We'll start walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Hebrew is called the Ruach HaKodesh, or the set-apart Spirit. You know, if you go on down further in Matthew 15, Matityahu 15, in verse 24, there's another perspective-changing verse there, if you know what you're looking for. He answered a woman that came before him, and he said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. There's so much meaning in that that we didn't get, because we didn't understand who Israel was or who Israel is. Israel is all the people of Yahweh. He's regathering those who will accept Yeshua as Savior, as Messiah. That's where Christianity stopped. As evangelicals and as Christians and Catholics and so on, we know that Yeshua is the only way to be reconciled with our Father. But when he said, I didn't come but to seek the lost sheep of Israel, which is in another verse in Matthew, we didn't realize that he was actually gathering Israel. But think back through who Israel was. Israel is what Yaakov or Jacob was named when Yeshua came and wrestled with him. The angel, it says, that wrestled with him and had the power, the authority to give him a new name and to promise and make covenants with him. In order to find out who Israel is, we have to go back and find out who Israel was, and not who Israel is to the world today as a nation, a piece of land in the Middle East, but who did Yahweh say Israel is? And does he make a distinction between Jews or Judah, which is part of Israel, and the rest of Israel that is now being regathered? And in fact, is prophesied that it has to be regathered so that Messiah will return. In fact, he'll do the regathering. See, from the very beginning, from Bereshit, from Genesis, every covenant that was made, let's call it a contract, every contract was made was an amendment to the prior one. There is no new covenant. The same covenant was made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Moses before him. And if we start looking at ourselves as part of Israel, not replacing the Jews, because they are an integral part, they have kept the Torah all the way along, to the best of their understanding, just as Christians have kept Messiah to the best of their understanding. Judah is our brother and are, of course, a part of this nation, Israel, that's being built. If we look at ourselves as being, in this world, a nation with our own culture, our own language, our own way of doing business, our own way of living in our families, because we have these commandments of Yahweh, this instructions, this book of instructions to go by, then we start to understand what it means, why it's important to be so obedient to these laws. Because then we can be set apart people too, holy people. What does it mean to follow the laws? Well, the first thing was the Sabbath. We got rid of the Sabbath because our forefathers got rid of the Sabbath. The next thing that they did was they got rid of the holidays. These festivals are an integral part of understanding the character and nature of our Father. And so the great diversion started, and they said, we're not going to keep those anymore. We're going to have our own set of holidays, Christmas and Easter and St. Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. And religion did a really good job on us, and we thought it was normal. We thought we were just being good Christians by following what, unfortunately, wasn't Yahweh. And he told us how to eat so that our bodies would be healthy and that we could live long and prosperous lives. And he told us to honor our father and our mothers. He told us how to raise our children and what to teach them and who should teach them. He told us how to deal with each other in business. And all these things would set us apart. By doing these things, we prove that we love him. Love isn't just a feeling. Loving is a fact. Loving is doing as we've been told to do. Love is a demonstration in action. At least that's according to the love that Yahweh looks at and understands. I hope you notice that all of the verses that I've quoted are from the New Testament. It's because they're all built on what came before. And most of what's written in the New Testament, Renewed Testament, is repetition. Yeshua came to fill it out and make it full, to make it understandable and doable. I've heard it described as a balloon being blown up. Mom, you always taught me that what I needed to do was to be like Jesus, right? To be like Yeshua. And that's exactly what I'm attempting to do. Honestly, that's what I hope you and Dad will consider doing too, and my kids. Yeshua was a Torah observant, law following, kosher eating, Sabbath keeping Israelite. There's a lot more teaching here, but once you realize that you are part of a people called Israel that is being regathered together in the last days to follow the commandments of their father, to be a set apart nation of priests to the rest of the world, then I think you'll realize that there shouldn't be any great alarm. And I hope that your spirit comes alive as mine has. And I hope that you're drawn to this end time movement to love our Father so much that we're willing to lay down anything and everything, to love our Yeshua, our salvation, so much that at the slightest command of our King, if we even think that he needs something, we jump on it. That's the kind of people he's looking for, and that's the kind of people that will survive through the days of tribulation ahead. Well, I've gone on quite a bit, Mom, and I hope you can see that all I want to do is be an obedient son. I love you and Dad, and I hope you give me the chance to talk to you again, because there is so much more. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Oh, P.S. I'm including a little two-minute ad that I'm running at the station. I think it really cuts to the heart of it. I hope you'll listen to it and enjoy it and let it touch your heart. Love you, Mom. So what's KPJC all about? It's about a king. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. You might have been introduced to him as Jesus. He's still the Savior and Messiah. But the better you get to know him, the more you just want to please him and do things his way. Jeremiah 16:19 says, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The nations will come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthless and unprofitable things. Most of us come from a Judaic or a Christian background, and we've been taught some things that have added to and taken away from Scripture, that the laws of God don't matter. But Jesus, Yeshua himself said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to make them understandable, to bring out the meaning of the laws and the ordinances and the statutes that make up our nation as a people of Israel and as followers of Yeshua. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by any means pass away until all is fulfilled. Now look outside. Is there still a sky? Are there still trees? Is there still a heaven? Is there still an earth? Then not one thing has passed away from the laws of Moses or the writings of the prophets. It kind of makes Jeremiah 16:19 come into focus, doesn't it? Where the people in the end times, during the days of tribulation, ask our Father a very serious question. Why did we inherit lies, worthless, and unprofitable things? Yeshua goes on to say, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches these laws, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we are all about here at AM 1220 KPJC. We want you to be great as you stand before the throne of Yeshua. So that's why AM 1220 is so important in your life and in the lives of believers who have yet to have their eyes opened up to the roots of their faith. Make sure and call your friends and family, email them, let them know that there is a place where they can get the whole Word of God, and they can do it no matter where they are in the world at thejctown.com on streaming audio. You can always call us at 503-316-1220 if you have questions, or email me. My name's Don at thejctown.com. Thank you for listening.